Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Truth Behab Radio Show right here on We the People Radio Network. We're moving into our second hour today with guest Jimmy Walter of JimmyWalter.com. And we do have a caller who's been patiently waiting, so let's go ahead and bring him on. It's Bill from Texas.
Yes.
Hello, Bill.
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, good. First, Jimmy, grab a pen and paper. I want to give you something to take a look at related to these sustainable communities you're trying to put together. Look up on the web Venus Project, The Redesign of a Culture, and that's by Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows, a personal friend of mine. They're down in Venus, Florida. It's the Venus Project, The Redesign of a Culture. You want to take a look at that. But the real reason I called is I wanted to ask some questions, try to establish what the real problem is and what I believe is the real solution. And it's so easy for us to do. We could restore confidence in the American people throughout the world. I think the whole world would stand up and cheer and say, finally, the Americans are standing up for themselves. And it's such an easy thing to do. Let me ask you some questions. You know, how did we really get the income tax, and how did we really get the Federal Reserve?
Well, the income tax was passed by constitutional amendment in 1916, and the Federal Reserve was one of those midnight at Christmas things passed by the Congress, I think, in 1913.
Okay, good. Couldn't have been a better answer. Thank you so much for that, Jimmy. Now, let me make a little point here. Were both of those literally commissions of fraud by the members of the Congress who voted those things in under those dubious circumstances against the American people?
Well, the Federal Reserve was. The income tax was a constitutional amendment, so it's legal. But the Federal Reserve is illegal because the United States Congress is charged with regulating the money of this country, and they can't. I don't think they can delegate that.
Well, I would. We'd have to get into a deeper argument related to the IRS and how it's all structured and everything. But I think we could substantiate it after a discussion like that. That's a commission of fraud as well. And since fraud is a felony, then that means the people that were involved in voting that way, and these guys are all lawyers. Okay, that's the older underlying problem, frankly. But anyway, they're all lawyers, or most of them are lawyers that are involved in Congress, and so they should know better in the first place. And it's their responsibility under their oath of office to do things that are in the best interest of the country and the people here. And so, and on top of it, committing fraud, which is a criminal act, that means they've gone against their oath of office. That makes it treason. Okay, that's a hangable offense. All right, on top of it. And look at what's coming up here just, you know, 30 days or so down the road. We have an opportunity to vote in or vote out almost the entire Congress. I mean, it's over 400 of them, as I understand it, and everything. And wouldn't it be sweet if we put all of them around on the street, every swinging last one of them, start over again? And I think the
let me jump in and plug up. Let me plug a website on that there. That's firecongress.org. That's the Kick 'Em All Out project. It's firecongress.org. And, you know, many candidates, including myself running in Wisconsin, are part of this. We say it's the year to fire every incumbent.
Get rid of the old boys that are up there, and let's start over with some new blood. And I'd like to add, you know, one underlying thing to that, because it's all building to one thing. There is one small group of people on planet Earth that need to be totally controlled and regulated. I mean, consistently. Somebody's got to have a watch on these people, and they're the attorneys, okay? Because the bankers are the ones that are perpetrating all of this, but they're not smart enough to do it themselves. They've got to have some lackeys, which are the next layer down, that are smart enough to write the laws and to manipulate things and everything to create all this mess that's been created across the world in the last several centuries and everything. And so those two groups of people have worked together, and most all attorneys are... I mean, you take a look. In Congress, almost all of them are attorneys. In the Senate, almost all of them are attorneys. Most of the higher-level people in government are all attorneys. The judges, the prosecutors are all attorneys, and we know how bad the justice system is right now. And so if there's one thing on planet Earth, or certainly one thing here in the United States we need to do, is put a collar on the attorneys once and for all. They step out of line, they hang them by their silly necks until they're dead. That's my contribution to fixing this problem.
Okay, well,
I think that the judges in this country are a big problem, and all of this talk about no activist judges, Reagan, Bush, the Bushes have been putting in activist judges on their side. and the judicial system in this country, the lawyers are responsible, is a mess. You cannot go to court and know how it's going to come out. It takes 8 to 10 years for a major case to get through the court. And the judges refuse to punish the attorneys because, like industry and the Congress, the judges are all attorneys, and they got to be there. And so it's a little closed shop, and they don't want to take away all the money from their fellows. I have nothing. But there are, on the other side of that, there are many, many good attorneys who defend our rights and do the best that they can. But with the supreme kangaroos that we have today, there's just no way to do it. As far as throwing them all out, the big problem is that you have corporate party A and corporate party B. If you throw out the ones that are in office, the guys that go in are the other party, but it's like they're the Alan Combs of politics. It doesn't matter which side you pick. What we need is to get libertarians like Kevin, Green Party people, people who aren't part of the political system, who aren't Democrats, who aren't Republicans, get them in. Because all you're really doing is it's like good cop, bad cop. You still got two cops. You still got, and not all, listen, not all cops are bad. Many cops are very good. I had ran into some cops in New York City that were very good, and of course there's some cops in New York City who are very bad. When I was out protesting in front of the New York Times, the New York Times called the police to get me removed. Imagine that, the New York Times. And then lied to the police. And then lied
was
to the police.
You were taking out really expensive ads in the New York Times, and they were having you hauled off?
Well, they tried to, because I was protesting in front of their office. And
yeah.
It was quite a thing. But the New York City cop comes up and says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "Well, I'm protesting." And he says, "Oh, you're exercising your right of First Amendment. Well, you got to stand here so you're legal." And he helped me out. And then they called him back again and said, "Hey, there's nothing wrong. The guy's doing just what I told him to do." But the New York Times, don't ever believe that the New York Times is liberal. They are controlled by the same media masters that control us all. But the legal, back to this point, the legal system here in this country, all of these things are really in a mess. The financial bailout is only going to help the financial institutions. It'll put some liquidity back in. But the fact of the matter is the U.S. economy has been going tapioca for a long, long time. The United States has been broke for a long, long time. And the roosters are coming home to roost.
Well, I can't argue with that. And, you know, in terms of the lawyers being at the root of the problem, you know, Bill was sort of citing that, you know, Shakespeare line, kill all the lawyers. But I agree.
Yeah, but
I don't think it's all the lawyers. I think it's not just the bad ones in general, but I think the Wall Street lawyers, especially at the top of the power pyramid, are a big part of the problem. As I understand it, Mike Rupert's work has, you know, dealt with this. The CIA is representing the most powerful financial forces in the country, in the world, and they're basically run, you know, the whole thing is run by a bunch of Wall Street lawyers working for the oligarchs. And so those lawyers, mm-hmm. those Wall Street lawyers that run the CIA and deal a lot of the world's drugs and run covert ops like 9/11, those people are the people that you want to go after, but not just your small-town lawyer who's mm-hmm. you know, standing up for somebody's rights.
Well, I have to point out the scholarly thing here. When Shakespeare said that, the person that said that wanted to set up a dictatorship.
Now, which play was that?
That was Henry VIII, and okay. The whole point of the first thing we do, kill all the lawyers, was so that they could set up a dictatorship. Because it's the lawyers who say, now, again, never do this class thing where everybody is wrong or everybody is good. There are good lawyers, there are bad lawyers. The lawyers in power today, the heads of the CIA, the heads of the government, the heads of the banking, these people who are enabling these people should be put in jail, and we need to revise the system so the system responds to the common man, not just the people with money. That's the problem now. If you don't have a whole lot of money, there is no, you don't have any access to the law. if the ACLU doesn't decide to defend you, you're going to get one of those nickel lawyers that aren't any good at all to defend you, and you're going to end up in jail for a long time. It's a very bad state of affairs, but there are a lot of good lawyers out there. Phil Berg, who filed the one about who's been filing stuff, I know him. The people, there was a, I don't know if you knew about my T-shirts. I had the Chicken Hawk T-shirts, and a boy in New Hampshire wore it to school, and because it had Bush doing cocaine on it, they threw him out of school, saying no, under their no drug policy. Well, that actually went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court had to say they didn't have the right because it was a political statement. I was totally astounded, but we won that case.
Well, you know, the president, if the president does it, it's not illegal, right? So
that's just, that's what he said.
Drugs, if the president wants to do drugs on a T-shirt in a school, it's not illegal.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it's we're in a real state here. Hold on a second. I got lost.
Well, you know what? Okay, if you want, I can bring on a caller. We've got a couple lined up.
No, I'm okay. But the financial mess here is just starting. Obama is not any good either. Obama is one of the reasons this bill got passed, this bailout got passed, because he twisted the arms of a lot of people here. Obama's Secretary of State will be Brzezinski. Brzezinski is a very dangerous man. He wants the Carthaginian solution for Russia. He wants to level it, so salt in the ground, so nothing ever grows there again. Obama supported the lies about the Georgia attack on South Ossetia. Talk about overreacting. Everyone said, well, Russia overreacted because Georgia attacked them. Give me a break, folks. Georgia killed 1,600 South Ossetians. There are only 70,000 of them. That's a huge percentage. And all Russia did was go back in and disarm these guys. The United States gets attacked. 3,000 people die, a much smaller percentage. We invade two countries, and we're still there. And we're losing. And by the way, we're losing the war in Afghanistan.
Well, that's right. And that's why these people like Obama are saying shift the war over to Afghanistan before we lose there.
But Obama and McCain have both said that they want to start the draft again. They know that these wars can't be sustained anymore. I mean, they've ground our hero soldiers into the ground. I mean, they've worn them out. The sergeants and the other people are getting out because they don't want to keep going back. And so they're going to have the draft. So no matter who wins after the election, we're going to have the draft again in this country.
Really? Now, are you you feel confident about that?
Well, I'll dig up the article I got. I sent it out as an email, but there was the national service thing. They both said that we've got to restart this national service, which means the military.
Well, that means that they're contemplating, you know, really big and sustained wars. And
the U.S. military has a plan that they just put on the table for 40 years of sustained war.
That's right. I saw that. Yeah, they said they're going to be going after Russia. They're going to be looking at China, and they're going to be fighting these ideological opponents, namely, apparently, the Muslims. Oh, boy. It sounds like more of the same old, same old. We do have some callers lined up. Let's go ahead and bring on Walter from Arizona. He's been hanging in there for a while. Welcome, Walter. How's it going?
Pretty good, Kevin. How's things with you?
I'm going okay. Having a good conversation today.
I'm enjoying the program, and I wish you all the luck in the world in your run, Kevin. I think I sent you a check a week or so ago. And Jimmy,
well, thank you very much.
You don't know me, but I'm certainly well aware of you and have been for many years, and I want to commend you for a lot of the things that you have done. First of all, let me introduce myself a little further. I'm the author of a book called To Tame a Tyrant, that is the only comprehensive written plan that the people that I'm associated with are aware of, and that included the late Governor Evan Neacom out of Arizona, who was the chairman of the group I'm affiliated with, and Senator Rogers out of California, and a few people. But specifically, I'd like to discuss two things with you, two guys. The first one is our monetary policy. And I recently wrote a letter to all of my representatives, including Senator Kyle and McCain, and it says this, that on 11-1-82, a Department of the Treasury letter states, and I quote, "The actual creation of money always involves the extension of credit by private commercial banks." That is, close quote. That is to say, we have no money in America, only a debt for our medium of exchange. And by definition, money is to be a storehouse of value, which obviously a debt is not. Another letter from the Department of the Treasury dated 1-6-82.
Walter, let's say that letter for after the break. But yeah, we are definitely living in a debt-based financial system. Our money is negative value for us, positive value for the bankers who created out of nothing at interest. We'll be back to hear the rest of Walter's comments in just a moment. Stick around. This is Kevin Barrett on Truth Jihad Radio.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show. I'm your host, Kevin Barrett. My guest today is Jimmy Walter of JimmyWalter.com. And we do have Walter from Arizona on the line. Walter, why don't you pick it up where you left off there, discussing or quoting on our debt-based money system.
Yeah, that's all we use is debt as a medium of exchange. So the next question comes, well, where will we receive the interest to pay the interest on, or the money to pay the interest on all of this debt, to which the Department of Treasury responded in a 1-6-83 letter and said, and again I quote, "Money to pay the interest on borrowed money comes from the same source other money comes from," close quote. So we have tried to borrow our way to prosperity, and the bottom line is that we now owe about $50 trillion, well, there was another trillion added yesterday, I guess, in public and private debt, and about $45 trillion in unfunded obligations. And the entire money supply, the liquidity, if you will, with which to pay all these debts is about $6.1 trillion. Obviously, you can't get there from here. So what we've tried to do is make an equation that says the sum of all debts in this country from one to end has got to equal the sum of all those debts plus the interest times the time that we hold those debts. Well, we can never repay them. Bottom line is we are broke, and I would say morally, institutionally, philosophically, and financially, but the fact is we're financially broke, and that's at the heart of our problem. And you can have bailout after bailout, and you will never solve this problem until we recognize that a debt system is mathematically unstable and cannot be made to work unless you have got an awfully good positive balance of trade deficit, which we don't. Ours is negative. And unless you have a growing economy in which we can produce more new wealth than what the interest is that's required to service our debts, in which case you could still sustain this unstable monetary policy for a period of time. But the fact is we're broke. And I, by the way, Kevin, earlier today, not knowing I was going to be on this radio with you, I sent you a copy or emailed it to you of the letter that I have sent to all of my representatives from the governor and Senator Kyle and McCain and all of them. But enough on that subject. We're in terrible shape there. Jimmy, if you'd like a copy of that and would be so kind as to give me an email address or call me and give me one, I'd be happy to provide you a copy of it also. Now I'd like to turn to a little bit on how do we fix this problem. And, Jimmy, there's going to be a meeting in Houston, Texas, on the 11th that is going to be primarily to discuss just where do we go, what sort of team do we build to take this country back, what's it going to get that team built. You can find a lot of the information on my thoughts on that subject on www.thecnc, that's T-H-E, Tom Henry Echo, Charlie Nancy, charlie.org, and you will find one document titled 1776, which is an initiative that I wrote some time ago and are jointly sponsoring with Americans for Constitutional Enforcement out of Michigan. It's where they primarily come from. But this is going to be a very, very interesting meeting. I know that the gentleman that created American Veterans in Domestic Defense, a man by the name of Jim Kevinus, ordered a case of the book, so it's going to be well represented there. So Roger is going to be at the conference. I personally am not going down because I don't see a need to. My thoughts are going to be there in plentiful form, I think. But, Jimmy, if you don't have anything to do on the 11th, you just might want to consider that one because I know where you're coming from. I respect you for what you have done and certainly commend you for it. But
I'll have a look.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll have a look at your site.
Okay, if you would like to. Kevin, my phone number is on the – well, you probably have it on your – call-in station.
Yeah, I did that.
You wanna,
yeah, I got your phone number and I got your email.
Okay, if Jimmy wants to give me a call, go ahead and give him that number. I'd be happy to chat with him for a while because, again, I've known about Jimmy for some time. I know you guys don't know me, but you'll find another website called www.tyranttamer.com. And if you want to take a look at it, it gives a little of my background on it and also some of the background on the Constitutionalist Networking Center that Governor Meekham chaired. And,
well, hey, it sounds like you're doing good work there, Walter.
Well, I think we were. Kevin, for whatever it's worth, this group was put together. I called the conference for Constitution. Well, let me give you a little more background. You run into time, I'll get off of this. It's not real important, but in the 80s...
You can kind of turn it into a question for Jimmy at some point. That'd probably be good.
No, we'll talk about it some other time. You guys can find some of the information on there in the background, but we built a hell of a good national leadership team back in the 90s, and we had former Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Ray Davis, Medal of Honor holder, was one of our affiliates, certainly Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, just a lot of real good people. But we couldn't get the people of this country to pick up and follow. I think that window is open wider today than it's ever been to do something. But we have to start with rebuilding the national leadership team. And, Jimmy, that's one reason I would suggest you go down there. I know who you are. I know where you're coming from. I know your background. I have long thought you might be a likely candidate to be a member of that leadership team.
Well, thank you.
Give a little thought. If you want to talk about it some more, I'd be happy to chat with you. Just give me a call. And I'll
Turn
you guys listen back over to your program. I'm sure you have other callers and other people as concerned, and maybe you have more subjects. And I'll give a listen.
Okay. Well, thanks, Walter. Okay. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Jimmy, what do you think?
Take care. Bye.
Take care, Walter. Jimmy, what do you think of Walter's point that the debt-based money system is inherently unsustainable?
It's obvious the only way out of it is to inflate it so it isn't worth anything anymore. This whole bailout is another one of these stupid things. We're going to borrow the money from the bankers to buy their bad debts. So we'll be paying, it's insane. The Federal Reserve loans us the money and then we have to pay them interest on it. We should just be printing it.
Would be a lot simpler.
Well, one of my ideas was to get rid of the whole income tax, hold all the taxes, get rid of them all. Just print the money. You get rid of the IRS. You get rid of people trying to avoid taxes rather than trying to make money. It's painless. People don't. You'd have to limit how much money they can print. But then we wouldn't be paying interest on it to the bankers. And he's totally correct. This thing just keeps compounding and compounding and compounding. Some of the bankers are going broke, but the other bankers are going to be just like the bankers that made it through the Great Depression. They're going to be 10 times richer because they're going to buy all the assets at 10 cents on the dollar. And I want to make another comment on Mr. Paulson. Mr. Paulson says, oh, God, give me all the power, I'll solve it. Well, he's a smart guy, but I'm not sure he knows what he's doing. His experience in the past year and a half, Paulson repeatedly declared the financial crisis contained and then offered a series of unsuccessful fixes.
Well, that doesn't sound like the kind of guy that you want to make financial dictator. We'll be back in a moment. Derek, talking with Jimmy Walter. Just stick around.
Educational, inspirational, constitutional. You're listening to We the People Radio Network. We the People Radio Network.
I told you before, you were on my door. Don't give me that brother, 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 brother. The police on the phone won't leave me alone.
Welcome back to the Truth We Have Radio Show. We the People Radio Network. That's WTPRN.com. I'm Kevin Barrett, talking today with Jimmy Walter of JimmyWalter.com, one of our most interesting thinkers and activists. And we're talking about the financial crisis and the $700 billion banker bailout bill, which is actually adding up to a whole lot more than that measly $700 billion. And, Jimmy, there's that whole issue of the quadrillion-dollar derivative bubble that's floating off into space with no connection to any real productive activity. Do you see any way to try to return some sanity to this system that Walter properly said was completely out of control and inherently unsustainable? What would be the way to fix this?
Well, they've taken a poison pill. That's the big problem. I mean, right now, the way to do it would be to repudiate the debt to the bankers.
Jubilee.
Yeah, just say, you guys got us into this business. We don't owe you any money. Goodbye. The other thing to do is to re-establish our manufacturing base in this country. Say we're not going to buy the cars from overseas. We're going to start our own factories here. Free trade is not helping us at all. Now the economists all come in, oh, you're being insular, it's going to cause collapse. But the fact of the matter is right now, the reason we have these deficits, trade deficits, is not only because of oil, but because we're buying all of our products from overseas from other people. We need to start manufacturing ourselves. We need to replace those imports. That's the way to do it. The money is just pieces of paper with zeros on it. It doesn't mean anything. Now, gold is really no better. Gold is just a metal. You can't eat it. You can't sleep in it. You can't wear it. You own it for jewelry, but it won't keep you warm. These things are just symbols of the real wealth, which is our ability to manufacture and supply the goods and services that the people need in this country. The bankers and the corporations have bankrupted the United States for their own personal money gain. As far as I'm concerned, it's like a debt that's incurred under duress. It's not a legal debt. But will any of this happen? Don't count on it. What you're going to see is you're going to see another second Great Depression. This bailout has, as we said earlier, will not put one more person back to work. It may stop a liquidity crisis. But all that means is it's going to be a little bit slower fall. We're in the middle of the economy is stagnating. Inflation is still going up. Oil prices and gas prices that came down a little bit, but not very much. And that was another thing I want to say. Everybody was saying, oh, the oil prices are there because of the speculators. Well, the minute the oil prices came down a little bit, the Saudis and the oil cartel cut production. So you can't blame it all on the speculators. What you have there is, again, another monopoly, with an oligopoly, really, over the oil producers. And we're protecting the Saudis and protecting the Kuwaitis and protecting all of these people who are actually holding an oil knife to our throat. Of course, the American oil producers benefit because high prices imposed by OPEC allows them to charge high prices here at home. When, in fact, they have capped off many wells and are sitting on much of the oil within the United States. There's plenty of oil around.
So you don't believe that there's a peak oil crunch coming where the ever-escalating demand is going to surpass supply, which is, you know, has reached its peak and is going to be going downhill forever?
Well, first of all, the higher the price, the harder the oil that you can produce. In other words, at a low price, you can only go after cheap oil. At a high price, you can go after those oil sands that are all over Canada. You can gasify coal. You can make oil right out of methane. The Germans developed the Fischer-Tropsch process in World War II, where you take methane gas, you can make all the oil you want. There's huge amounts of coal all over the world. There's huge amounts of methane gas all over. And if you believe the Russians, there's deep oil everywhere because the earth itself is producing oil. In fact, they have proven that the oil basins in off Louisiana in that area are refilling from below. The oil basins in the Arab countries are refilling from below. Oil is being made by this methane, natural methane Fischer-Tropsch process all the time. The shortages are in refining plants because they're not building any refining plants because they want to keep the price of gas high. And even then, in Europe, they've been paying $6 a gallon for a long time. So the U.S. still pay, even at $4 a gallon, is 50%, or it's a third less, or Europe is a 50% more than what the Americans pay.
So why aren't they building refineries then in other countries? See, that's the part of the peak oil argument that I find is hard to argue with. Well, the two parts that look pretty solid to me is, one, there haven't been any super mega giant oil fields found for something like 50 years now, and the ones that we do have seem to be running out. Even if they're being replenished, they're being replenished more slowly than they're being extracted. And then secondly, there is this lack of new refineries. They're not building any new refineries, and that's happening around the world, and that makes me suspect that maybe the peak oil people are at least partly right. It may be that the sweet oil, the easy-to-get sweet oil, is what's running out, and as we move into tougher to extract and tougher to, you know, to create energy resources, there will be an economic crunch following from that.
Well, I agree with you on the tougher, but again, it's at what price? And at $130 a barrel, they can dig very deep and they can convert the tar sands and they can convert methane into oil. So, we're in agreement, really. The oil bubbling to the surface, that's gone.
Right. Okay, well, hey, we do have a new caller that just came in. It's, let's see. Well, I don't see the screen where I can bring him up, so hopefully that'll show up in just a second. Oh, yeah, there we go. It's Jerry calling in from Florida. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
Good. The reason I'm calling is I appreciate all your speakers just speaking about the New World's Order, but people's been talking too long. You can see what the government's doing to us. So it's time to pick up their arms and go and take over Washington. Because if their own people don't want, our own soldiers just don't want to go in and take the bad people out, we're just going to have to.
Okay, well, Jerry, I think you're fading out a little. Jimmy, what do you think?
Well, the fact of the matter is that Bush just authorized the Third Army to operate inside the United States. They're getting ready for anybody who does this.
Blackwater. You have more people than the Army. It's time to quit talking and do something, because if we don't, we're going to lose our country to the New World's Order. If you read your Bible, it says, you know what I'm saying? It's time to fight. Why talk? What's it do? How are we going to change things by talking? Because you can see that they were scared of the president. That's why they passed the bill just a couple days ago. Why? I say fight, because if people don't fight, it's not going to get any better. And a lot of people just don't care in this country. If you look around you, even your own neighbors don't like other people, you know?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
First of all, I cannot advocate taking up arms against the United States. I think that's not going to work. There's not enough people who do it, and even if you have your AR-15, it won't stop a tank. It won't stop a Black Hawk helicopter. You don't have the technology. One man in a Black Hawk helicopter can take out 10,000 men in an instant. You don't have the ability to do this. What's going to have to happen is the average person in this country is going to have to get up and say, we've had enough of the government, and have a general strike. Now, that's what will stop. When the bankers and the corporations, when Walmart quits having customers, when you stop watching CBS News, when you stop going to Fox movies and watching Fox News.
Okay, general strike.
That's the type of thing.
First, folks. Okay, we'll be back.
Great host, great topics, free speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.
We're back. This is Truth Jihad Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Barrett, on the web at, well, there's truthjihad.com, and there's also barrettforcongress.us. They both take you to the same place, and I'm talking with Jimmy Walter of jimmywalter.com. Jimmy, you were saying that trying to take on the Army is a fool's game. I kind of agree with you. I think, though, we do need to be spreading information to our soldiers and police officers. One of the most productive things people can do is get 9/11 Truth DVDs into the hands of these people, because the fact that such outrageous high treason was committed is really an opening to folks who are basically patriotic and think they're doing the right thing. We need to turn the hearts and minds of the soldiers themselves rather than try to fight them. Which, you know, it's not their fault that they, you know, they've been brainwashed. They're not bad people, you know, going out and trying to kill soldiers.
Many of them are just as fed up as we are. Many of them are just
as
fed up.
Right. And we need to keep talking to them and getting information to them so they'll get more and more fed up. So they'll be on our side, as in the final scene in V for Vendetta, when the cops and the soldiers and everybody else puts on those masks and, you know, storms the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, right now Most people are still fat and happy and very fat, by the way. They're not going to go out and do anything. And until they're really fed up and they, I mean, you know, in Europe, when they protest, hundreds of thousands of people come out. They had 1 million people in Rome one time. Here, on last September 11th, how many people protested? 20,000 people. It's obscene. Nobody here is willing to go out and do anything. Even the financial disaster. Do you see anybody out in the street protesting the financial disaster? Not one person.
Well, there are a few. We did have a bunch of people at the courthouse in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There were people in New York's financial district and a few other places, L.A. But you're right. It should be a lot more people.
Should be millions, not a couple thousand total. They still are brainwashed by the media. And even though the people now don't trust the media, that's still where they get all of their stuff from. And it's going to turn. I mean, it's going to be like the collapse of the Soviet Empire. I mean, it's just one day it's not going to work anymore. But as far as taking up arms, I don't believe the violence beget violence. If you take up arms, it gives them just the excuse they need to come in and use arms against us. That is exactly what they're hoping for. That gives them the excuse to declare martial law. As far as taking up arms, I totally oppose that. Don't do it. If you want to do something, try to organize a general strike. Try to get the people out there to vote for third-party candidates like yourself and kick all of these incumbents, Democrats and Republicans, out. And all of these people who think Obama's going to solve anything, Obama took 2 million bucks from the bankers, and $600,000 or $800,000 from Goldman Sachs. I mean, this guy is owned by the corporation. He is owned by the bankers. He's not going to change a thing. The only thing that's going to change is he's going to have a different color skin in the White House. That's the only thing. He'll be just like Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court or Colin Powell in the military. They'll still be doing the bidding of the bankers and of the neocons and whoever it is behind the scenes who runs all of this, who we probably never even heard of.
Well, you know, speaking of the problem of the power elite bribing the politicians and owning them lock, stock, and barrel, as they do own Obama and McCain, I don't know if you've seen the proposal at my website, Jimmy, for campaign finance reform by saying that passing a law saying that any contribution to any incumbent or office holder of $200 and up would be a presumptive bribe and prosecuted as such. And what this would do is it would create a huge advantage for non-incumbents who would not be hobbled by this, and so they would be able to raise money more easily than the incumbents. We'd get more turnover, and once people were in office, they could no longer be taking money from the powers that be. They would have to, to step out of office before they could do that. I think this is a very good and very libertarian way to try to stop our government from being, run by bribery.
Well, it sounds like a good start, but what I would do also would be to reinstitute the Fairness Act in terms of media coverage. I would force the newspapers and the TV channels to cover all the candidates and anyone who could get enough signatures, some threshold of signatures up there, that they would be forced to cover and allow these people to speak on the TV, and then I'd make them do it in prime time, not in some godforsaken hour that nobody's watching. The people, if you're working all day, you don't have time to watch daytime TV. You don't know what's going on in daytime TV or in the middle of the night. But the people need, democracy needs that you get involved, that you go out there, you learn the issues, you listen to the candidates, and you get involved in putting the people into the politics, not just sitting back on election day and saying, oh, God, we don't have a choice.
Well, that's right. And it's just a scandal the way they took the presidential debates away from the League of Women Voters and put them under control of a government commission, which has kicked out the third party. That's just a disgrace. You know, we do need to have the media giving all candidates, not just the major candidates, free airtime and blocks of it sufficient to convey real ideas. I've found running for office that getting a platform to actually speak for long enough and get a long enough message out where you could actually say anything meaningful is really tough. There are these little soundbite opportunities here and a little flash coverage there, but it's obvious that the media wants you to have to collect huge amounts of money so you can buy their advertising to brainwash the electorate. They're very happy with the system the way it is.
It's like the bankers. I mean, the bankers loan you the money to pay them off. The media sells you the time so that they can determine who gets elected. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of media interest that I've gotten is from the advertising department. I sent out some really interesting stuff on my positions on the issues to all the media outlets in my district. And the main response I got was from the advertising department trying to sell me advertising time.
So I had the same thing when I ran my ads on 9/11. I kept getting all these calls from every advertising manager across the country wanting to sell me time. I had many of them turn me down. Many of them turned me down. So
like that?
They wouldn't take my money. Wouldn't take my ads.
Oh, my goodness. That is so disgusting. You would think that with an issue this important, even if there was a 1% chance that you were right and a 99% chance you were wrong, the media should be out there just chasing it down and going over all this evidence with a fine-tooth comb just to make sure that 1% chance didn't turn out to be true, because this is so grave. Taking it from the perspective of somebody who hasn't looked at it yet, this allegation is so grave that if it were true, it would be so incredibly important that they should have put journalistic resources into looking into this case that you were making. It's the minute they saw you placing these ads. But did they do that? Hardly.
Well, quite the opposite. They ridiculed me. C-SPAN, the guy on C-SPAN, ridiculed me. So, they control all the media. We really, it's like the end of Russia. Everyone knew that Pravda was telling a lie, that there was something in there that they should look at. And the people in this country are becoming the same way. But they got to get off their rears and actually do something. And they got to go out and protest. They got to have a general strike. They got to support third-party candidates. And they've got to quit watching so that they don't have these TV stations and movies and stuff that are put out by these people, so they don't have the ratings. And so that they do it. The newspapers are going broke anyway because they don't have advertisers because they don't have the readership anymore. But the country's in a sad state, and unfortunately, I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah, well, I hate to say it, but I agree with you, Jimmy. I'm doing everything I can to try and make it get better faster. But most days it does feel like I'm kind of swimming upstream. But people do want to get involved. But, they're always welcome to help out with my campaign at barrackforcongress.us. I'm hoping to do a TV commercial, Kill Your Television, where I'll be blowing away a television set with a shotgun and hoping that that'll get the message across and turn it off. Well, Jimmy, it looks like we're at the end.
Well, I enjoyed it very much, and thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, Jimmy. Keep up the terrific work. You're one of the most interesting people out there, and keep me informed with emails on what you're up to and what you think are the important issues.
Good luck. I hope you win.
Okay, appreciate it. Take care. That's Jimmy Walter of JimmyWalter.com, the visionary philanthropist and powerhouse behind 9/11 Truth. Took it as big, took it from a very small movement to a much bigger movement. Thank you, Jimmy. Take care, folks. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. I'll be back with one of the most interesting writers out there, Joe Bajan. So, see you then.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.